This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We started today with the American middle class. Who's in it and how it's changed since the financial crisis. What we didn't really talk about was how hard or easy it can be to get in to the middle class. Turns out where you're from, literally where you're from, really matters. A new study out today from Harvard University compares upward economic mobility across metropolitan areas, and it finds the economic layout of your city can have a big impact. Harvard economists Raj Chetty and Nathaniel Hendren helped write the paper. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
Raj Chetty, let me start with you and ask you what might be the most obvious question out of this whole thing. Why does economic geography, as it's called, why does the layout of these cities matter so much in mobility?
That's a great question. So we started out thinking that it might have something to do with tax policies. Places with higher property tax rates, for example, might have more spending on schools, have higher rates of mobility. But we also find that many other factors seem to matter. So, for instance, some of the cities that come up lowest on our measures of economic mobility, I'm looking here at a chart, are places like Indianapolis, Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, North Carolina. The low-income people in the city are not living anywhere near in proximity to the higher-income people. And that can have effects through many potential channels. So take, for example, the quality of schools. If you're living in an area with several affluent people as well as lower-income people, it's conceivable that the quality of schools might remain quite high. Whereas if the lower-income people are completely segregated, it's plausible that the quality of the schools is just not as high in low-income areas because of a lack of funding, and that might set people back.
So, Nate Hendren, let me pick up from that. And if you look at a map of this study that was in the Times, the article by David Leonhardt today, the less mobile areas are clustered predominantly in the South. Was that a surprise to you?
Absolutely, yeah. When we, as Raj said, when we looked at the map, this was something that we had no idea, you know, because it's not just about differences in income across areas. This is about taking people who are born to parents who make $30,000 a year and asking how do their economic incomes vary across areas. And, you know, I think we have a sense that it's harder to kind of rise up in the income distribution if you're at if your parents are poor, earning below $30,000 or so. But I don't think we had a sense that the extent to which you rise out of poverty varied so much across these areas.
Raj Chetty, this is fundamentally a depressing study, right? It in essence says poor kids are more likely to stay poor as they grow, and upper and middle class kids have a better chance of success.
I actually had quite the contrary take. This study made me very hopeful in the sense that there are actually places in the U.S. where kids from low-income families are quite successful with relatively high probabilities. Take places like Salt Lake City, Utah, where if you're born in the lowest part of the income distribution, there's still a 12% chance that you're going to reach the top of the income distribution, not that far away from the probability that a child from a more affluent family would have reached that same level of success.
So if I'm a low to lower middle class income earner and I look at this map, should I just pack my bags and go to one of these places that's in blue, like basically the whole state of North Dakota, because my chances are better?
Well, I think that's a really good question. That's actually something that Raj and I are trying to look into. And I think at this point, it's far too preliminary to really give you a definite answer on that. But, you know, it's important to kind of step back and say, you know, what we're doing here is really trying to give a picture of what mobility looks like and then try to understand how does that relate to different policies that policymakers can pursue. And I think, you know, what we hope is that this is a first step in the direction of really understanding what people can do. And I think we'd be hard-pressed to say that we've answered the question of what should be done.
Raj, for all the detail that is in this study and in the maps today that were in the New York Times, it does seem that upward economic mobility in this country is still incredibly constrained.
People often debate, is the U.S. the land of opportunity? And what this study is saying is maybe that's not the right question to ask. There are some places in America that are lands of opportunity where kids from low-income families do have a chance to do well. And there are other places where that's far, far from the case. And I would agree with your reading that overall, levels of upward income mobility would ideally be higher than they currently are in the U.S. And hopefully by documenting and understanding this variation, we're going to figure out just what we can do to improve the prospects of low-income kids.
Raj Chetty and Nathaniel Hendren, economists at Harvard University, a new study they're doing on income and upward mobility in this country. Gentlemen, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.